Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, you've probably been wondering where the heck Dum-de-dum was last week. Well, suffice to say, we had catastrophic technical problems. We recorded it, at least we attempted to record it on Monday of last week, and a whole litany of issues. We then picked the ball up again on Tuesday, and the problems did not stop. So I've been trying to resurrect some semblance of a podcast, but it's somewhat lopsided because not only did we have a lot of problems recording it, but then Kerry's audio was lost. So what you're going to have for the next, 20-odd minutes is the start of the podcast, some caller inners, a tiny bit of chat, just to put down a marker to say that we did attempt to do a dum-de-dum last week.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dum-de-dum, sponsored by managers.
This is Dum-de-dum, this show about reality docudrama that are centered on Ambridge in the heart of the millions on the small vacuum hand pump who goes by the name of Royfield Brown. Alongside me, we have the love shack that is
Kerry Warbis.
And then there's the nostril pastor who goes by the name of
It's Fickling.
And the last part of the farm, moving in opposite directions, folks, is you, our lovely listeners. This week's Dum-de-dum is from Jeff. I'm going to have to retire now, Jeff. So, folks, we need a new Dum-de-dum for next week. On this week's episode, we hear views from Matthew Weir, Sarah Spilsbury, Apple Android App, Witherspoon Glynn, and Young Keith. But first, it's Amber's week that was Ambridge.
Hello, Dum-de-dum. I'm Amber, and on this week in Ambridge, Ben and Rory decide to build a love nest. As someone who has been and continues to be a young woman, I can tell you now that nothing gets my pulse racing more than condensation, lack of central heating, and a cassette toilet. Alice is fine. Absolutely fine. Totally fine. How dare anyone think that the road out of addiction wouldn't be completely linear? Latest update in Kirsty looking suspicious as hell. She visits Philip in prison. Philip gives us his death rattle as he attempts just one more little manipulation round. Is this man capable of being honest? Resounding nopes all round. Ambridge's Got Talent might just be back on the cards, as Jade showcases her extraordinary pasta-based party trick. For all those who underestimate her prowess, yes, I did try it. Yes, I did nearly lobotomise myself. And yes, penne is undoubtedly the best pasta for the task. And that was the week in Ambridge.
As always, tip top. Well done, Amber. If it's a Pete and Kerry week, it means there's a hot topic of the week. And today's hot topic is jade. How long will it be before we become jaded? Pete Fickling, as always, you pick the controversial, the tip-top, the erudite, the pertinent topics of the week. What are your feelings on our jade?
Well, it's jade, isn't it? She's the worst. She's the absolute worst human being that's ever lived ever. And people have heard me moan at length, ad nauseum, about Ruth, about Lee, about Russ, about the lot of them. And I kind of felt like the scriptwriters had seen our bitching and whining over the previous years, not just us, you know, the whole Archer's community, and said, fine, if you want a truly detestable, sort of epoch-definingly dreadful character, we'll give you one. And that's what we got. Pennegate.
She's shaking things up, though, isn't she, Jade? She's described as the one-woman Mardi Gras.
I must have missed that. I mean, it was just sort of lobes of my brain were kind of folding in on themselves when she was on air. So it was probably quite difficult to take in anything in any detail.
But there's a reason why a Mardi Gras only happens very rarely, isn't it?
Yeah, and you stop going to them when you're about 23. And a surprising number of female friends who've sort of like, you know, they've all got their flashing their tits story from Mardi Gras, and none of them, these are all people who you could never imagine doing it, you know, once they're, you know, proper grown-ups. You know, what was it, Activity Weekend? Like you're hinting, Kerry, she's doing a very effective job. If the purpose is to drive us and Jazza into the arms of Tracy Horriman and settle into their future long-term relationship, she's a very effective tool.
Yeah, they're subtle like that, aren't they? known for their subtlety. I think, you know, she's being billed clearly as too much for Jazza to handle, even though he's kind of said, he said a horrible thing, didn't he, about do you think I'd rather be with a single mother of two? I want excitement.
Yeah.
So she's supposedly exciting, and that involves lots of tequila. Oh, Jazza calling sick from work because he's so hungover and losing the pay from having done that.
Yeah.
Having to listen to her say buddy all the time.
Exactly. That would just... I have a very dear friend who dumped an otherwise wonderful girl just because she just wouldn't stop calling him nicknames. And so she had to go because it was either that or have the courage of having that conversation with her. And that was never going to happen. So, you know, obviously at that age, not all of us can have Warbis-like directness and honesty, Kerry.
Okay, fair point. But let's forget. Let's remember. That's what I meant. We could forget Jade if we wish to. But Jim did say, bless Jim, that he's reserving his judgment until he knows her better. So should we all be a bit more Jim-like and do exactly that?
My dad is, how old is he? He's in his early 70s. He was a young man when he had me. And he and I have had some fairly frank conversations recently where I've said I'm quite happy with the values that impatient, angry, impetuous him taught me when he was, you know, like 24-year-old. He's very, very zen now. He's always working incredibly hard to stay calm and see the best in every situation. And I think it's an attractive quality in a kind of, you know, like Jim, my dad was, you know, formerly quite sort of intemperate and maybe kind of quick to not aggressive, not as with Jim, a very nice man, but, you know, quick to opinion. And I think it's, you know, men of their, you know, it's a nice quality in men of their advancing years to sort of mellow and try and see the best in everyone. And maybe that's what Jim's doing. He's trying to be a good friend to Jazza. I mean, she let's just be very clear, she blew uncooked pasta into his Cicero mug. I mean, that's pretty poor behavior.
Yeah, but he's still being tolerant despite that.
Yeah, it's his love of Jazza, isn't it? That's all it is. It's his knowledge that, you know, he has to do right by Jazza.
Yeah, what was the he did a Latin quote, didn't he? What was that? It was to do with
Roy Field Iuntis in Perpetuum, I think.
That was the one.
Yeah.
It was something to do with other people's tastes and having to tolerate them, wasn't it?
As something is pleasurable in the moment or something. I can't remember.
Which is somewhat apt because Cicero was a stickler for a pure form of Latin and was not one of the people at all. He was an optimate. So he was all about Roman traditions and things being done correctly. So it's not by accident that here was this scordy behaviour was happening and she spits out the pasta into a Cicero mug, because Cicero would have utterly, utterly been disgusted by that behaviour.
Was she that badly behaved? But are we all being a bit prudish? I mean, is it basically snobbery from the archers community that we all dislike so much? I mean, should we all just be a bit more fun?
I don't see it as bad behaviour necessarily, although calling Jim Jimmy.
Yeah.
Be construed as being that when you've only just met him, but that again,
and he specifically said don't.
Yeah, exactly. And then she carried on. It's that sort of forced fun type situation where, like, hey, we're so wacky, look at us, we're blowing pasta out of our nostrils. That sort of just makes me really guess.
Kerry and I were having a little chat earlier on this afternoon, Royfield, and you and I were giving Lee a bit of a kicking. Lee is so kind of like overly nice. And sort of his niceness feels like an assault. He doesn't give you any room. He kind of dictates the pace of the conversation by being so nice. And it's that same thing. It's not allowing you to be yourself. That's basically the point, isn't it? Whether it's bad behavior or good behavior, it's people who just sort of dictate the environment and leave nothing, no room for anyone else.
Yeah, exactly that. So, you know, you wouldn't be, I think Jazza feels he can't not go to the activity weekend. He's already trying to ponce money off Johnny in advance for homebrew to go and do it. Just say, I don't want to, or can't afford it or something.
My immediate reaction to the boys setting up their love caravan was kind of a bit sort of like, oh God, that's tragic. And then suddenly I thought, no, it makes a lot of sense for them to set up their love caravan. Why, you know, they don't have access to their houses. They can't go to hotels. They're very young men with raging libidos, and also their girlfriends or potential girlfriends, and of course boyfriends in Rory's case, probably are just as keen to have sex and will turn a blind eye to a couple of cockroaches in a moldy old cushion or two. You know, it's eminently practical to get the caravan in place. But, you know, Jazza doesn't have that excuse. He's well into his 30s. I mean, there's no amount, sex cannot be that good that you would keep on heaping that level of indignity on yourself. She's so annoying. I mean, maybe for one night, just to sort of like try it out, but not week after week.
Is he therefore doing it to, not to spite Tracy, but to sort of show Tracy, look, I it's all very childish, this, isn't it? Because lots of people on Twitter are saying he doth protest too much when he's saying, you know, Tracy's ancient history. I want this, you know, exciting Jade character instead. Does he though, really?
Yeah. And also, she's not exciting, is she? It's like they bought the Lady Bird book of What Kids Do 2021, yeah. You know, and then they've kind of like copied out stuff from the first 10 pages. I mean, it's not how, you know, truly exciting people, don't need to buy adventure weekends. They create the adventure themselves. It's that, you know, that just the conversation alone will be enough.
Yeah, because she disparagingly said, oh, why would we stay in or something? That's like knitting jigsaws. I thought that sounded quite good, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, compliment incoming, Kerry. Fish and chips on the beach in Brighton with you is potentially more adventurous than the than the purchased adventure of going away with Jay for the weekend, you know, to go, what was it, spelunking or something.
Yeah, jet skiing, jumping off rocks. Oh, sounds horrendous to me.
Yeah. I mean, Jade wouldn't even know how to cook lamb, let alone think of popping it in her pockets to feed a drunken pop star. That's what I'm saying.
And you're right. Like, if Jazza is, you know, knocking on 40 or whatever, she's probably about the same. Isn't
she supposed to be younger? I vaguely get the sense that maybe Jazza had sort of been an age inappropriate guest at a party, and that's how he met her. I felt like it was a kind of a Johnny and Freddie style party that Jade had been at, and then Jazza was kind of like, you know, not gate crashing exactly, but it was kind of, you know, the weird old guy in the corner.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, she's either going to be a stayer or one of those fleeting talking characters that they keep dropping in from time to time then.
Yeah, which I quite like. At least, you know, your blood got pumping and you knew you were alive when she was on. Whereas the Ruth and David, you know, arguing over sheep versus cows. Lee wetting the bed with excitement because he was having a Tuesday big Chinese.
Host. I mean, come on. with extra prawn toast.
Oh yes, exactly. Yeah, just to celebrate his impending jail sentence, lifetime sentence trapped with Helen and the boys. Someone kind of pulled me up on it and said, actually, you know, he's quite sexy and he's a very nice man. And I then sort of quizzed him a bit, and it seemed that his sexiness and his desirability was based on the fact that he is a good, solid man. So I have tried to see things from the other side, that, you know, if you are Helen, if you have had the life she's had, then Lee is probably a very good bet and a very, very pleasant way of spending a weekend or an evening.
Oh, God. Anyone who says, I'll settle for beef satay with spring onions because that's more of a Tuesday meal.
One of the kind of shorthands they use for male sexiness is they're kind of like, they're good at sport. I'm always suspicious of men who are into martial arts. I think if you drew a Venn diagram of men who are into martial arts, it's like they've washed out of all the other sports. They've got some kind of massive chip on their shoulder about their masculinity. So they go and get in their pajamas and roll around on some mats and try and, you know, learn some kind of pseudo Asian fighting styles. And I know that's not true of everyone, but, you know, and I have been that tragic man who has done, you know, put on the pajamas and done the kicking and the rolling around on the mats. So I do have some, I do know a little bit of what I'm speaking about.
I did take my kids to do taekwondo for some period of time. They were really good at it.
That's how I ended up doing judo. They did it at my school. My dad took me every Thursday to do it. So yes, that's how I ended up doing it. Oh, and I did the kicking one. What's it called? Kickboxing as well.
How did you?
I'm reasonably flexible, and I was very keen as well. So I was sort of progressed quite fast. Whether I was good or not is for other people to say, but I progressed quite fast because I was, you know, I was really throwing myself into it. And I got hauled from class to class in quick succession until this kind of 14-year-old French boy tap danced on my face for about half an hour.
I was going to say, when I was rudely interrupting you, that you were describing yourself then when you said you're deeply suspicious of people who take up these sports.
No, because I didn't do it because I'm terrible at sport, Kerry. I'm not saying that to be arrogant. I mean, I'm not saying I'm good at sport, but I'm not one of these. I'm not one of the. And also the kind of maybe it's more of an American thing, you know, the kind of the cliched. You drive through an American small town and somehow these minuscule communities can support a five bars, five fast food outlets and a karate dojo. There's always a karate dojo in each of these towns. And you see the sensei walking out, and they're always very disappointing human beings.
Goodness. Right. on that note, folks, from small town America, maybe we should go back to Blighty, to the imaginary village that is Ambridge, via our good listeners.
If you would like to sing or play us a Dumpty Dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us or leave us a message on SpeakPipe on dumptydum.com.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
First off, we go to northern Portugal. It's Matthew Weir.
Greetings, all Dumpty Dummers, Royfield, and lovely co-hosts. It's Matthew here in northern Portugal. And this week, we were treated to an ongoing verbal exchange between Queen of the Cow Freaks, Ruth, and Lord of Lambswool, David, with David lamenting that once upon a time we shared the same vision, although he failed to point out that it was the vision of a 100-foot-tall Montbelliard, shortly after Ruth had knocked up an omelette with those unusual-looking mushrooms she'd found in the top field. Meanwhile, new love interest and all-round pain in the arse Jade was wowing Jimbo and Jazzer with her amusing party trick of firing penne from her nose into a coffee mug. And when Jim added a little Latin punditry, Jade bristled, only for Jazzer to assure her, "Prof's conversations are littered with deed Romans," which intriguingly can also be said of Tracy's locked basement. And amid all of this, David and Ruth were completely played by Ambridge's most cunning of influences, the Alindanati, with the Snell MBE tricking Ruth into surrendering the barn for the performances. And additionally, Dirty Harrison was talked into swapping his badge and gun for his tadge in a loincloth, playing none other than Jesus. I guess Harrison does work in mysterious plays. And then Ben and Rory were hard at work planning the reinvention of their rusty trailer into a caravan of love sucks. Perhaps this could be a wider business venture for Amorous Ambridge. As we all know, it was only in the kid-free safety of the cricket pavilion that Tracy was able to observe the quality of Jazzer's googlies. I suggest more of Ambridge could avail of this service, each with their own do not disturb sign. For Trazer, if the door lock is bust, then we're stuffing a crust. And for Helen and Lee, if this trailer is askew, then we're sploshing Mr. Wen's meal for two. And for David and Ruth, if this caravan's a clanking, then we're sat in here wondering about dairy expansion due to reduced returns on lambing. Ciao, Jinji. Stay safe. Obrigado.
It's very, very dense in a good way. And it's a testament to Mr. Weir's comedic talents that even after listening to it now six times, as we struggle with day two of, you know, technical problems, it's still funny.
Greetings to the world of Dumpty Dum from Sarah Spilsbury in Smethwick. Or should I use my nickname, Spill, in line with numerous Ambridge residents answering to new names this week? First, we had Rory suddenly answering to Roz, whilst he and Ben planned the Ambridge Love Shack. And as if that wasn't Larry enough, we then had the dubious pleasure of meeting Jade, who referred to Jim by all manner of names except Jim. She got up to no good and nefarious acts involving pasta and a Cicero coffee mug. Has the poor man not been through enough already? Usually, the benefit of radio is the pictures are better. But on this occasion, I wish that they hadn't been. Okay, well, that's my two penneth. Sarara bits.
Big compliment to Sarah Spilsbury. I think she is pretty much the exact opposite of Jade in every possible way. It's sort of on the cosmic seesaw, on the seesaw of life. Sarah is at the very opposite end of that seesaw.
Now, moving swiftly on, we have Apple Android app.
Hi, everyone. It's Miranda here, Apple Android app. Now, you asked me what I thought about Davies and Ruth. The quick answer would be, I don't know why I've spent so much of my life listening to both of them. Highlights of David's life. I'm going to look for some positives. He used to be the NFU area rep, and he used to go around helping them solve their problems and doing all the things he doesn't do now. He used to listen. He used to be well-informed. He used to be curious. All that's gone. On the downside, he murdered badgers. He bumped off Clary's dad with a tree. And he encouraged Nigel to do his roof diving. It's just not on, really, is it? Plus point, oh, he had a bit of a thing with dopey Sophie. But inevitably, that came to absolutely nothing. Then Ruth. Well, Ruth is the student placement who got lucky, really, isn't she? She had a generosity of soul bypass at birth, and she's a grudge-bearing woman. Why does she assume that because she's a farmer, she has to live in that house and have no culinary skills? I mean, it's not mutually exclusive. What do they have in common? Well, they both love misery, don't they? They love fear of change. They've got a lack of curiosity. An inability to run and grow a business. Yeah, we could just stop with the summary, couldn't we?
If you're self-aware, you can sort of recognise your faults. And Kerry, you're a confident person. I'm a confident person. Royfield is as well. Maybe a kind of like ego correction officer who you can call up when you're getting a big for your boots. I mean, if Miranda, if I heard that description of my, you know, of me from Miranda, I think I'd sort of, you know, I'd shrink.
Ears with a spoon with some stuff.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, everyone in Dumpty Dum Towers and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. Someone I'm not going to talk about today, nor touch with a 10-foot penny, is Jade, who sounded 50 and acted 15. Though she did inspire my Saturday Snap Facebook post question, what's your favorite pasta dish? So for that, I will be forever grateful to her. But do let's talk about Kirsty and Philip. Most of us have agreed that Kirsty's pursuit to locate the lads is seemingly counterproductive and may get her in trouble with the police or with the criminals, but it has led to two very well done scenes, first with Gavin and this past week with Philip. I've talked about this before. Philip is a stew of psychological defense mechanisms that is ready to bubble over. His denial and isolation of affect are so strong, and he has so convinced himself of the truthfulness of his beliefs that he sounds practically delusional. However, there were moments in his conversation with Kirsty in which reality seeped into his brain and he seemed to recognize that he was just lying. When he told Kirsty that he was so fearful of going to jail, he sounded most in touch with his emotions. Despite Philip's fears, I think he will eventually plead guilty and tell the authorities what he knows about Blake and the others, because he can actually protect the woman he loves from possible danger. If that's the case, then Kirsty's actions will have proved to be correct. Who would have thunk it? Talk to you soon.
So Philip sounded the most genuine when he was unrepentant and in denial and fearful of going to jail.
Yeah, he's not a nice man. As usual here with the controversial comments. So was this been basically saying that the ends justified the means then? Kirsty kind of like potentially breaking the law. I mean, some people have said jeopardizing the case. I mean, any evidence that they have against Philip is potentially sort of the waters are muddied by, you know, the way that she's being sort of popping between, sort of potentially illegal visits to people who are on remand. Is that the correct phrase? Anyway. Yeah, from a kind of editorial point of view, it doesn't feel like the ends have justified the means, because it's been, as I've said many times, I've had enough, and it's been a tortuous couple of weeks listening to Kirsty traipse around, sort of dealing with her stress. But yeah, I mean, I guess all's well that ends well.
It was hard to know the actual point of that, because she went to try and find out information about where the location of the lads, but didn't. So all she really learnt was that she wants to throw her wedding ring away.
Yeah, but Witherspoon was saying that he thinks that Philip's going to plead guilty and that it's all going to work itself out. I mean, to be fair to him, he was bang on in his assessment of Philip and his assessment of Kirsty. So, you know, let's go with his version of events. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
Well, if you've been following the Archers this week, you'll know whether Witherspoon is correct or not, but we couldn't possibly tell you on this podcast today. Now, is Glyn full of love? He's out and about and he's doing stuff somewhere up north. Well, North Midlands, Derbyshire, probably.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. On location, this week's location is an old-fashioned railway signal box in honour of Tony Archer and his recent 70th birthday. More of that on the Facebook page. Now, on to last week's Archers. So Kirsty went to see Philip, and Philip is completely unrepentant and in denial. But I will leave that to others, because I want to talk about what was happening at Brookfield, where, now, if you've got a really important decision to take about the farm, what do you do if you're Ruth? Do you call a meeting, prepare papers in advance, get the family to all sit down and discuss it rationally and take a careful, considered decision? Or do you decide that you'll talk to your husband and business partner about it while he's in the middle of a complicated lambing? Now, Ruth may have done that deliberately, on the basis that she knew it was going to wind David up, and a couple of days later he'd feel quite guilty about that and be more willing to give her what she wanted. Or, let's be more fair to Ruth, she may have realised that having the sensible business meeting and rational decision was a waste of time, because 2 or 3 days later David would turn around and say he'd had a vision involving a toy farm and a voice from his dead father, and it's changed his mind completely. Anyway, it's no way to run a business. If they'd been locked down like the rest of us for the last 6 months, I might have had a bit more sympathy. But since Ambridge is still the only place in Britain where you can get a socially distanced pint, my sympathy is wearing thin. Anyway, all from me. Stay safe, everybody. Have a great week. Bye.
Thank you, Glyn.
Did you hear there, Kerry? I think some of Glyn's collection of piercings were kind of jangling halfway through. I mean, so all of his nipple rings and kind of like, you know, Mr. T jewellery was all jingling and a jangling. I mean, I think that's what it was. Or that, or that, or a fence he was climbing over. One
You're
of the
probably
two.
Right, though.
Yeah, one of the two.
It is no way to run a business, I think, in a nutshell, is it, really?
Yeah, he absolutely nailed it. That was, yeah. It just, I think the thing that really gets to me is the lack of manners. Basically, we're all trapped in houses with, we're all yearning for company, or we're getting too much of it, one of the two. And you have to be incredibly delicate and sensitive to the other person's feelings when you are spending so much time with someone. They've been in lockdown for decades on that farm, never seeing anyone. So, you know, you'd think they would be a little bit better at dealing with each other and showing sensitivity to each other's feelings.
And to round off, we have young Keith, who in my mind's eye, sometimes I'll get mixed up with Matthew Weir. I don't know.
Yeah, I do as well. I think it's because they both got sort of a sparkly, lively personalities.
Yeah, and are proper, a little bit naughty, but fun with it too.
Hello, resident sexpert young Keith here. Just, would you say hiding, cowering in my cupboard in my classroom, trying to get this message out before the kids come in. Just a short one, really, about a bit of a grumble. Johnny really getting on my nerves this week. The way that he talks to Jazza is so patronising. He must be, I think he was going to college, wasn't he, with Freddie? So he must be, what, 20? And Jazza, what, nearly 40? The way he talks to him is if he's like his mate advising him on his first trip down to the pub. Oh, do you want to maybe take it easy, mate? Yeah, you need to have your down days as well. You know, I know Jade's a bit of fun and all this. So just let, okay, we all know where this is going in terms of plot, that Jazza's going to go running back to the arms of Tracy, but just Johnny getting on my nerves this week.
He really does sound like Matthew, doesn't he? And he's in a classroom like Matthew.
Yeah. It's very easy to get mixed up. Yeah.
Not when you're engaged with one of them. I mean, that's obviously young Keith, but sort of like, yeah, they're both in the same, they live in the same sort of joyous part of your brain. I was really irritated with Johnny this week, partly because he's undergone this massive personality change. Like he could barely leave the house. Just half a year ago, for fear of his hair falling out, the strimmer goes over his head, and he buys himself a car, and he's now suddenly the big swinging D, isn't he? Complete switch in personality. It's very odd. I didn't mind him giving Jazza that advice because I do think Jazza kind of has left himself open to it.
But he's right, though, isn't it? And the impersonation was amazing.
It was amazing. I mean, yeah, I am not a Johnny fan, but I did think Jazza's behaviour was so stupid as that it was the friendly thing to do to maybe give him a little bit of a kick in the ribs. The customer's always right, and Johnny was the customer. Jazza's trying to flog him hooky booze and get you know some extra money up front, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's weird when it does take a 20-year-old to talk sense to a 39-year-old, is it? I never remember.
Have you ever had a much, much, much younger friend and benefited from their more kind of open-eyed perspective on the world?
Pretty much most of my friends are much younger than me.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, even if you've got that experience, sometimes, the young people can be a lot more kind of candid or straightforward about stuff or see things in a kind of much more, maybe and they offer you a kind of a perspective that sometimes can be quite refreshing.
Yeah, that's true. External perspective, because I am quite old.
Yeah, very old, Kerry Warbis.
Older, even older on Friday.
Yeah, I'm the only one. I'm the only one under 50 here. I'm the Johnny of this situation. I better show you a bit more respect to you both. And Royfield, I'm sorry for all of the rude things I've said.
It's all right. I'm that old that I've forgotten them. That's young Keith. Now it's email time with an H. And if you notice that we're speeding things up, good people, it's because, my heavens, have we had a mare in terms of recording this. So, Auntie Kerry Warburton, do we have any emails?
Got one email, and it's from the very lovely Richard Beveridge, who's on the Twitters as well. And he's
very keen Twitterer.
He is, yeah. He's entitled it The Passion of the Snell. And he's saying, greetings from the sun-kissed Duchy of Lancaster. I must say I've enjoyed the casting call for the Easter Passion Play and Linda's usual arm twisting to recruit or perhaps press gang her company. There was much discussion in the Archers Twitterverse about the casting, especially the selection of Sergeant Burns as our blessed Lord. I thought, to help cast the passion of the snail, perhaps these villagers could be appropriately cast. St. Peter works with his hands, habitually in denial. Chris Carter, St. Andrew, fisherman, patron saint of Scotland. Jazza McCreary, Pontius Pilate, but in charge by a greater power, washes his hands of the problem and exits. Brian Aldridge, Caiaphas, the high priest, patriarch, manipulates those in thrall, conducts stern and leading examination of witness at home after dark. Peggy Woolley, the Virgin Mary, ordained by God, born free of original sin, believed her son is God made flesh. Come on, who do you think that is?
Helen.
Shula Hebden.
Oh, yes. Stunning.
Yeah.
Not certain of the most appropriate role for Adam Macy, but given his huge acting range, as described by Kerry, perhaps the stone sealing the tomb, or even the cross itself. I look forward to the production. Keep up the excellent work, and best regards to you all. Richard.
Stunning content from the Dumpty Dummers. That's just a perfect parcel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
More stunning content is about to hit you right between the ears, folks. It's our Sue, the social media roundup.
Well, hello, you lovely people. Queen or Tart here, Suey, ready to give you your social media roundup for this week. And I have a very important question to start with. When is a mug just a mug? And when is it acceptable to it to be part of a party trick? What were the script writers thinking? Ooh, how unhygienic we are, it must be said, when it comes to Jade, a very divided group. Some people really like her. You know, I had to actually go and look her name up because I couldn't remember who she was, because clearly I have attempted to blank her from my memory and I never want to think about her again. And I am not alone. Fiona Crawford was worried about her ending up in O&E. Actually, you're much nicer than I am. I couldn't give a toss if she went to O&E. Remaining, having the pasta that she'd shoved up her nose removed from it. Elizabeth Llewellyn said what I thought was that she was a middle-aged woman behaving like an immature 12-year-old boy. And poor Jim. He's our Jimus. He's not Jimbo. He's not anything like that. Oh, that really riled me. And poor Cicero on the mug. Oh, Wendy Rowcroft said that it was wrong in every single way. And I agree. But some people, including Matthew Penny and our own Amber, think she's fun. They're wrong. But, you know, I'm perfectly fine that everybody's entitled to have an opinion, even if you're wrong. Rob Williams said that she was channeling Carry On and Barbara Windsor. And Sue Bridge said that it was the least favourite scene ever. Can I ask you, Sue, where were you for the shower scene then? Because I have to say, that's very high up there for me, together with the ferrets. Oh,
Anyway, speculation is rife that it's a sledgehammer approach. Marion Pike says that's what they're doing in order to get us to love Tracy so that we can have Trazza, or whatever you end up calling it, JC. It doesn't bear thinking about, really. Martin van der Hoevel, I hope I've said that right, says never trust a person who calls all and sundry buddy. And I completely agree. And don't put pasta up your nose, even if it has a rifling effect. Oh, that's a good bit of script writing. So we did give us, this all gave us the opportunity to talk about our favourite pasta dishes, thanks to Witherspoon, who put up a thing which made me very, very hungry indeed. Now, what I'd like to know, can anybody recommend what to do with the kale that's come in our veg box? Because I have no idea what to do with that. Wendy came back again, Wendy Rowcroft, and commented something that I've been concerned with lately, that time seems to just get away from us. We don't really know where we are. How easy it is to not be clear on what day of the week it is and all of that. Lillian is glad to have any content whatsoever, but Fiona says she's forgetting what happens. I so relate to that. She says, I know something has bugged me or something has moved me, but several days have passed. Yes, I'm completely with you there. We did get some farming content this week. Oh, that was exciting. I'm so pleased. Debbie Bridge says, don't listen to your cow-obsessed wife, David. Your cow-obsessed wife. I love that as a turn of phrase. Keep the sheep, and mixed farming is very popular. Several people say lamb's more expensive in the butchers than beef, and it's selling for good prices. Read of that, Art David. Don't get swayed by Ruth. I'm just hoping that we get Jill or Ben back ready, because it's time to go out and check the bees. I'm working up to our first opening of the hives very soon, so I'm hoping that they're going to come back on and tell us what's going on. Richard Lucas, returning to the main story, slave trading, yada yada, prison visits, was he guilty, is he not guilty, all of that. Anyway, so Richard Lucas queried how Kirsty managed to get into prison. Was she wired up? And there's a lot of queries about the plea, getting information, Victoria, oh, and that finder's fee. Oh, that put a right shudder up me, that did. But what everybody agrees on is that Kirsty's really got to be careful that she doesn't mess up the case. And also, really want to shout out to Richard about your polite communication has meant that we've finally ended up with a bit on the end of the Archers fan club page on Wikipedia. Well done, that man. And Alice. Alice is cured. Or is she? Answers on a postcard, please. I want to shout out to all the new members. We've had lots of lovely new people this week. And big, big love to Belly McMerriweather for reminding us not to bother tuning in on a Sunday and for liking my pasta recipe. I want you to all stay safe and well, my lovelies, and I'll see you next month. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that, Sue. And we'll see you at some point in early April, I do believe. Pete Fickling, it's time for Tweets of the Week.
So I'm going to need you to work with me on the silver position. And gold is a cracker. I'm confident about that. And bronze, we'll just see what happens. But you've got to give me a little bit of time on silver position, please. Anyway, so here we are. It's Tweet of the Week, and it's bronze position, as is traditional. Andrew Davidson, Andy Make the Tea, at Andy Make the Tea. I've always secretly suspected that it was my love of cushions that made me gay, but perhaps it was the other way around.
Very so, good.
Yes. And then in silver position, and this is Leighton Mills, at Leighton Mills, you have to imagine the protagonists here actually engaging in this. So that's what sort of got me excited. Ben, have you ever considered the repair shop? I'm, you know, the Ben going in there, that earnest young mixed heritage lad carefully working on some lovely walnut worktops for their for their sex caravan. You know, the Victorian prosthetic mechanical penis that has to be diligently put back together and all of the workings brought back up to speed. Obviously, maybe some lubrication, you know. So it just was just anyway. That's why I just like the idea of, you know, Josh and Ben fully engaging in that. Anyway, so there we are. Silver position. Thank you. And I think, you know, this might be the jumping the shark. Fonz is jumping the shark now. So an up and coming tweeter called Kerai Warbais, I think, at K E R I W-A-R-B-I-S. I think that's pronounced correctly. And you're going to need your button again, Royfield. She said, non-stop trail biking, tequila, kebabs, and shooting penny out of your nose. Fuck off. And for me, it summed up the week. It was a terrible week's Archers, and there you have it. Kerry summed it up in, yeah, quite neatly.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Oh, for I felt so teary.
No. Just I thought it was going to be able to go on a long diatribe about Cicero. Anyway, moving on. Dumptydum.com, go to the Scott Shops. Got awesome things you can do. What you can also do is you can go and comment on past shows. You can join Tractor, which is a great way of joining up with other people that love the Archers and love Dumptydum equally as much as you, and you can talk to them and then maybe you can go meet them. So that is dumdydum.com. One great way that you can help support this podcast is by writing us a review on Apple iTunes. If you write us a review, more people get to hear about the podcast. Special big ups go to Richard Lucas over in Krakow in Poland, because what he has done, he's managed to get us onto Wikipedia. So if you look at the Archers page on Wikipedia, in terms of fans and the support and love of the show, it mentions Dumptydum. So thank you, Richard, for cajoling and persuading the gatekeepers of the Archers on Wikipedia that we deserve a mention, because by golly, we've done 7 years of this and we deserve a mention on that page. So thank you for that. Another way that you can support the podcast other than writing a review is going on to patreon.com, and for the eminently reasonable sum of $2 per episode, you can support this podcast. Go onto Patreon and become a Patreon. Very soon, we will be speaking to the evil Philip Moss on a Friday Zoom. We only give that out to special people. So if you have the universal symbol of bunting on your Twitter handle, you will get a link for that and you'll be told all about that, or if you follow us on Facebook.
Remember to get in contact. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website. And thanks to our social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Mike Hatton for his character counts, Shambridge for her voices, and to Lucy B. Freeman.
Twitter is where this whole kin caboodle started. You can follow us on Twitter, where we are at Dumdydum. Pete Fickling, how can people find you on Twitter?
Pete Fickling.
Kerry Warbis.
I'm at Kerry Warbis, KerriWarbis.
And of course, we have a presence on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, why don't you follow us on Facebook? If you want to take around a bit of Dumdydum with you in your pocket as you go about your good business, download the Flick app, become part of the posse. That's just about us, just about done. You'll notice that I'm speaking 10 to the dozen. It's because I've got my Italian lesson in about 5 minutes, and we've practically been recording for about 5 hours through 2 days. It's been an utter nightmare. Hopefully by the time you hear this edit, you'll go, sounds like a regular Dumdydum.
Everybody won't.
Well, let's hope that your enjoyment of this has not been spoilt by the fact that Zencaster went down, Zoom went down, you name it, it went wrong. But anyway,
oh God, it was bad, yeah.
We have struggled to get you this show. So let's hope that it's a good one. Now, play out music. Caravan of Love?
Yes. Perfect.
However, Sarah Evans did say, how about we recognise the fact that Daft Punk have split up? So, I think it's going to have to be Caravan of Love and maybe Dark Punk next week. All right, folks, there you go. That's your Dumdydum. I've got my Italian lesson to do. Pete probably got Cyrus who needs to bath. Auntie Kerry Warburton has got a kid she needs to hang out with, cook dinner with, eat dinner with, and have a life. Boy, oh boy, this has been a struggle. Yeah. Toodaloo, tararabit.
Thank you for your patience, boy.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.